Last time, we heard about Toni's first experience at freighting. Her brother Carl was along on the trip and swore, "Life is too short to live like that." But Toni found it to be an exciting adventure. Soon she had another opportunity to accompany her husband to the trap lines. She described the trip in her memoirs. Later in the summer, Rod and Toni made another freighting trip. This time, the river was low and the water channel narrow. Trying to omit as many portages as possible, Rod instructed Toni on helping to navigate the heavy canoe through the shallow, limited water courses. With Rod in the stern of the canoe, paddling, Toni ran ahead, leading the canoe on a tow rope. It was vital that Toni remain well in the lead of the canoe to assure a straight pull on the boat. Any sideways pull would overturn the freight canoe and lead to even more problems. Toni fearlessly ran along the shore, over narrow beaches of sand or gravel, around small shrubs, and leaped over boulders in the rockier sections of the riverside, never thinking of what a slip or bad landing could result in. She did as she was bid, and they arrived safely at their destination. Lothar and Gusti had thought when Rod and Toni were married that Rod would quit trapping and find himself a job in the Barents River area. But Rod had other ideas, and Toni stood by him. In September of 1924, they set out by canoe for Rod's trap lines in the Whiskey Jack Lake area. They took with them the supplies and personal items they would need for the winter's trapping. They loaded the large freight canoe, tied the paddling canoe on behind, and said goodbye until the following May. Rod had traps and fur stretchers at the trapline cabins. Among the numerous items in their larder, one found dried vegetables and fruits, flour, tea, lard, sugar, salt, yeast cakes, candles, matches, and soap. Rod would supply the meat from his hunting, and the camp stove burned wood. What they did not bring with them, and the bush could not supply, they would have to do without until they returned to Barents River in the spring. They turned the freight canoe upside down and left it on the shore of Whiskey Jack Lake, taking the paddling canoe with them over the Cranberry Rapids and the final miles to the trapping cabin. Once there, Rod left Toni to start cleaning the summer's debris and dust from their home, while he returned for another load of their belongings from the site where they had beached the large canoe. Soon they were rechinking the log walls of the cabin and laying in a store of firewood for the cold months ahead. The claw marks left by a bear on the cabin door served as a constant reminder to Toni that she was no longer on the Alberta homestead or in Castle Rock, Washington. Nor was this a movie. This was real life, her life, and its lessons would not be easy or convenient. This first winter together, the first time the two of them were really on their own, was a time to learn more about one another and to forge the bonds that produced a strong and lasting relationship. The autumn and winter days were short. Darkness came early and stayed late. Their only source of light was candles, and they were in limited supply. In an effort to conserve their resources and to fill the long hours, they often went to bed and talked for hours. Rod related his life before he met her, and Toni did the same for him. Not only were Toni and Rod close, but their two families, the Schutzes and the Hoffmans, shared a common affection. She recounts, "Rod had letters with him that he had received the winter before from his mother and brother Ralph. Both raved about Toni, her beauty, eligibility, desirability. In his letter, Ralph added, 'Hurry up if you want her, because I have my eye on Toni for myself.'" And actually, Brother Luther had expressed similar thoughts. What a happy family connection was formed when the two families were knit together with two of the brothers Schutze married to two of the sisters Hoffman. The close bond that Tony and Rod formed was to take them through many challenging and satisfying years. Next time, we'll hear about Tony's daily life at Whiskey Jack Lake. Thanks go to Eileen Wojtowicz, Tony's daughter, for sharing the family's tribute to Tony and Rod Schutze in We Shared Each Other's Gladness. A copy is held by the Legislative Library at 200 Vaughan Street in Winnipeg. I'm Judith Hudson Beattie in Winnipeg. Goodbye till next time.